Well, hey, Power Agents, this is Daryl Davis. Welcome to the Power Interview. We've got somebody really special for a couple of reasons. This person goes way back with me to when I first started on my own as a trainer for the real estate industry. And we'll talk a little bit about that, but let me first introduce you to Marty Sorrentino. So, Marty, thanks for being on this interview with me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Daryl. Thanks for having me.
Let me just give you a little background about Marty. Marty started in real estate in 1994. We're talking, that's a lot of years. So he's not young. But Marty, he started with, we met when we did the original year-long Power Program, which was a live training course. Of course, we have the Power Program, its version that we have now. But back in the 90s, the original version was I met with agents once a month live. I would fly into the same city once a month for 12 months. The first class I did was in 1993 on Long Island, New York. And 1994 was the second program. And, Marty, were you in that class or were you in the 95 class?
Yeah, I was in 94. I was your second graduating class.
All right. So now, people who've ever actually attended that program, that once a month live, really knows my material backwards and forwards. Some of them, it's even funny. They sometimes forget that what they're doing, I taught it to them so many years ago. And but Marty actually then was one of our coaches. It still is, still there, helping us work with agents. And he's just an incredible guy. He knows so much. Just to give you some background as far as his business, you know, he's actually a dual agent, and I don't mean dual agent for buyers and sellers. I mean he's working in dual states, North Carolina and New York. You know, he does over a couple of hundred grand a year in commissions with his team, and just an incredible guy. So once again, Marty, thanks for being on this call.
Thank you, Daryl. Just a short correction there. It's actually Charleston, South Carolina.
Oh, I said North Carolina?
Yes, and that's okay. There's a lot of, yeah.
Well, no, listen, Charleston is probably better than South Carolina anyway. And I want to hear about what you're doing down there, too, and I know people want to hear about that. Why don't you give your contact information now, along with your the two offices that you've got where you're working, or just your contact information, website, whatever you want to give them to contact you. And just in case you make any kind of change in the future, you probably want to make it easy for people to find you.
Exactly. Well, first of all, again, Marty Sorrentino, and my email address is my name. So it's MartySorrentino @gmail.com. And my phone number, direct phone number, is 516-551-0082. And those are two things that have been consistent with me ever since I've been in real estate. So I've kept them the same, regardless of where I go or who I work with or for. That's what it is. And that's important in real estate, is the consistency.
Yeah, because, you know, here's the thing. When you've been in the business as long as you have, sometimes the companies that you're with, they don't work out. They make changes. They're bought by other companies. So, sometimes I think in the older days, if we saw an agent, they changed companies, we would, if they did it too often, we would think that maybe there was something wrong with that agent. But nowadays, with acquisitions and mergers and everything else and change in management and leadership, it's not the case anymore. It's okay if an agent, if they're not, my philosophy has always been is if the company you work for, you got to be happy that you're working for them. That it empowers your speaking when you go on a listening for them because you're speaking passionately. And you've always been that way, Mark. You've always, that's one thing I've got to say is that whatever company you were with at the time, you always spoke about them as if they were the best and the only real estate company to work for. You are one of the most loyal agents that I know when it comes from a broker's point of view. So kudos out to you. So, all right, let's talk about let's give some background here because now there are some agents, we know like Gail Gladstone, a friend of ours. There are some agents that try and work dual licenses, especially it seems like people from the north, you know, where they'll also have a second license, whether it's Florida or the Carolinas. And that's because there's so many people who, when they retire from the north, they want them going to the south. So I think that's a really good business model in that regard. But I'm assuming there's challenges with that too. So, you know, over the years, have you noticed things that work about it and things that don't work about, you know, splitting your time in half like that?
Yeah, I guess one of the biggest challenges that I face is the distance. If I was looking to maintain a practice in New York and one, let's say, in New Jersey or one in Connecticut, where I could go to Connecticut in the morning, do my business, and come home at the end of the night and spend time with my family, that would be ideal. But having about 800 miles distance between Charleston, South Carolina, and Long Island, it's challenged. Now, JetBlue does offer $70 each way, so it's an affordability. But it's the fact of getting the tickets, getting to the airport, back and forth. Darrell, a guy like yourself that has traveled over many millions of miles, you know that even though flying is quote-unquote easy, there's still a lot that's involved with that.
Yeah, and actually, I think that, I mean, in the speaking business, we say that we're not paid to speak because we love to speak. We actually charge clients for the travel because it is, you know, in the first year that you're traveling, it's kind of fun and cool. You know, you get on a plane, you know, the whole concept of like being at 20,000 feet in the air is a miracle. And so there, in the beginning, it's pretty exciting, but that wears off, you know, and it becomes hard work. So definitely having if there was an agent who is going to want to be a dual state agent, I don't know if that's a term, but I just made it up. What would you recommend to have that work, whether you're doing it or not? Again, because you've learned what works and what doesn't work. So if you were going to give advice to somebody who's trying to have a license in the north, and by the way, any of the people listening, California or Midwest people, anybody in the United States, you might have that opportunity to work two different markets that may consist of a plane ride. And so this question is for you folks. So what would you recommend, Marty, about that? Would you even recommend doing it? Would you say don't do it? If you are going to do it, here's what needs to happen. So go ahead.
Right. So I've been asking around, and I think you and I have had previous discussions about this where I said, hey, do you know anybody else that travels, you know, for work 800 miles and either drives for 12 hours or has to fly for an hour and a half? And I haven't found anybody that is doing what I'm doing. And the reason why it works for me is that in South Carolina right now, I'm a broker in charge. So I own the company, but we represent new construction. So new construction is basically sold. They put up a model home and they sell the homes from there. So it's not a lot of quote unquote hands on, which it would be in the resale business. So that's one of the reasons why it kind of works for me, is because it's both basically new construction down there that we're doing. But it does take away from my focus and my effort on my Long Island business.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now, all right. So let's a couple things. This is important, what you just said. If we look at the job description, what a real estate agent should do, that's build their listing inventory, which means prospecting, and the best way is FSBOs and expireds. Of course, there's mailings, direct mailings, free CMAs. I mean, to build your shoe store with a lot of listings, that takes a lot of effort and time. Now, if you had to do that in two places, the South Carolina and New York, that would probably be really close to impossible unless you had team members and you're managing other people who are doing it. So you're really not working it. You're actually the manager of other agents doing that. That's probably the only way that would work. If you can't do that, if you're not doing that, then at least when you hook up with a builder like you have in South Carolina, you're essentially sitting house to open. I mean, you're dealing with their inventory exclusively. And they're giving it to you. Is that accurate?
That's it. I'm smart enough to know, Darrell, that the best way not to lose the client is to make them a partner. So I'm actually partners with the builder, so I never have to worry about losing the client.
Great.
Now, what we do is we do have agents that work, you know, for our company. It's a small boutique company. We're not a franchise. We're not a large chain. And so I don't compete with the agents in my office. So any leads or anything that comes in, it goes straight to the agents. In my capacity as the broker in charge in South Carolina, my job is to make sure that we properly represent our builder, we give them every tool that they need, and to assist any of the agents that are on. We have five other agents, and to help them whatever they need in coaching or whatever else to build up their book of business, because they are permitted to sell, you know, resale homes, older homes. So,
gotcha.
So that's what they do. So that takes on, that's got a challenge over there with that. But again, now when it comes to Long Island, New York, you know, I am still that guy, even though I'm, you know, just turned 60, I'm still knocking doors, calling FSBOs, doing expireds, working in the trenches on Long Island. And I'm going to tell you something, I like it.
Well, you're a people business, a people person, and we're in the people business. And I've always said that about you. You know, you don't know this, but every time I do my seminar, I pop your face up on the screen. And I do. And I always reference that, you know, now I talk about you when I go to the buyer segment of my seminar, because I talk about how you like to door knock and work with buyers also. And the thing about you is that you're very personable. And, you know, people who like to door knock, if they're personable, you know, I relate that to you. So let's talk about the prospecting. So when it comes to building your inventory on Long Island, 2 weeks out of the month,
yeah.
You know, that's really quite crazy, but you're still pulling in, you know, great revenue. Now, let's just delve into that deeper. What do you like about prospecting? What are you strong at? What do you recommend to agents? So let's go there.
Okay. So I define prospecting in two avenues. You have what I call auto prospecting and manual prospecting. So it's like
okay.
A car. You got an automatic transmission or you got a manual transmission. Both get the car to move forward, okay? One basically does it by itself, and one requires you to, you know, push in a clutch and use the shift lever. So one obviously takes a little bit more time and effort, and the other one's – so I divide my prospecting into two tools. So anybody today that is starting out or has a business, I just met an agent recently who's been in the business, got to be almost close to 20 years, does not have a contact database system where they're reaching out to their clients on a monthly basis, whether it's postcards, newsletters, or even an email, constant contact kind of thing. And again, I'm not pushing constant contact. It's just the name that everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not doing that and you've been in the business for 3 or 4 years, please do it. If you're not doing it, you're in the business for over 10 years, shame on you. You haven't heard me speak about this before. And if you're just starting out, please, please take everybody from your phone book, from your cell phone, wherever, and put them into a database and start communicating with these people. That's,
well,
that's
let's,
something.
Well, let's, let, now you assume that everybody knows constant contact. And so I just want to clarify that for people listening, which, by the way, is that what you use? Constant contact is an email software. Is that what you use to manage your contacts?
No, I'm not using it now, and one of the reasons is that I get a boatload of emails from all different sources. Again, mostly real estate related. And once they get your email, you know, it's unfortunate. A lot of times I do opt out and I unsubscribe, but I don't want to bombard my past customers, clients, sphere of influence with that monthly email where they're going delete, 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 delete as they go.
Right.
So
right.
I don't do that. I do work with a company that is a real estate-based postcard newsletter company, and if you want, I'd be happy to give them a shout-out. I've got nothing but praise for that company.
Yeah, go ahead. What's the company you use?
It's called the Personal Marketing Company, and it's basically tpmco.com. You log on there. They got an 800 number, and I have to tell you, Daryl, in today's day and age of business and everything else, they usually pick up on the first ring when you call them. You give them your name, and it's as if they were just on the phone with you yesterday. They're an amazing, amazing group of people. So they're my auto prospecting. So I have my spheres. I got about 555 people in there. And I tweak the list from time to time. Some people will come off, some people will go on. And so once a month, a postcard will go out, and it's seasonally timed. So if it's set the clock back, set the clock forward, change your battery and your smoke detector.
Winter, summer, spring, summer, fall, holidays.
Right.
They'll do something. All right, let's pause here for a second because we're actually going – we went off the database thing. So let me just clarify for people. So when it comes – there's three things that you just said, and I don't want people to think they're all the same thing. There is your contact management software, your database. There's your email program, which sometimes could be the same thing. And then the third is your automatic mailings that you're doing. So I just want to be clear with people as far as, because I get the same question all the time, what do you recommend to keep track of my contacts? And
right, okay.
All right, so when you say your database, That's let's get just nail that down for people because that was a great point that you're making. There's people that use Top Producer to keep track of their contacts. That's a good company. Some people like Gail Gladstone, our friend, I don't know if she still uses it, but she always used to talk about Outlook, which is an email software, but it has some contact management abilities in it, but it's not a CRM, it's not a contact management. And then there's some companies, the franchises, they have their own contact management. So, gang listening, what we're saying here is what Marty started with is that if you get a group of people, friends, family, neighbors, people that you want to stay in touch with on a regular, consistent basis to shake the trees, you want to have that in one place so that way you can easily call. Mail or email. The second thing is your email, a way to send out emails, mass emails. Now, some of these contact managers, like Top Producer, they have built-in abilities to send out emails to people. A lot of them have that now, almost all of them. And then there's some that just do emails specifically, like Outlook or Gmail. You can have a Gmail account or Yahoo Mail, and you go online, and there's your emails. The third is what Marty is saying, which is I love that distinction about a manual car versus an automatic car. The automatic takes less time and energy and effort. Manually, you've got to keep shifting your gears. It takes a lot more energy. So you use personal marketing to do your emails where you've given them your list. You took your list from whatever contacts thing you're using. You sent it to them, and they have the list. And every month they automatically just send out a seasonal card, and you're cutting them a check every month. Is that right?
Correct.
That's awesome. Okay, so I'm sorry, Marty, I interrupted you. I just wanted to clarify because you brought out three great distinctions. I want people, I know especially the newer agents, they'd be really confused.
Right.
All right, so let's continue. So you're doing that form of prospecting. Continue, please.
Right. Okay. So the mailings I found, and I've been doing them for quite some time, and the results have been enormous. And again, I'm probably doing it, 7, 8, 9 years. I wish I was doing it 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So listen up, folks. If there's anything you're going to do, you need to start today and do it today. Not tomorrow, not the next, not next week. I'm going to get to it next week. You have to start today. And here's a great tip. That nice lady that has been in business 20 years and doesn't have a contact database, I said to her, get yourself a college kid, pay him $10 an hour cash, give them
yep.
a list of all your people, and have them
yep.
input it into. So she went to the personal marketing company.
Yeah.
She set up her own account. It's free. Doesn't cost anything. And she
yep.
had this young girl start to input all her data into her own file at the personal marketing. See, what I like about the personal marketing, Daryl, it doesn't give you a lot of information where you can load up birthdays and anniversaries and stuff like that, but it's free. And the only time
right.
it costs anything is when you do a mailing. Now, what I love with them is that they'll do a postcard for me 1 month and a newsletter from the next month. So I think it's called Hometown News from Marty. So it shows up with my face, my email, my phone number, and it goes out. It'll have a recipe. I've actually had people call me up. Tell me they love the vegetable lasagna. I said, what are you talking about? And I realized they just got the newsletter. And by the way, you want to sell your house or not? But the bottom line is, it is a nice newsletter about a present interesting topics. It doesn't come out and say, "Hey, I'm Marty. I really am low on inventory. I need a listing. Sell your house with me."
Right.
It basically
right.
just states that there's some changes maybe in energy efficiency of windows. It might be, like I said, it's a recipe. It might have a thing about clean out your gutters before the winter season. So it's got a lot of really great little things on there that people can get.
Cool.
What I like about it is that although 90% of the people do sort their garbage, I mean their mail over a garbage pail, which I am one of those people, you basically have to physically look at the postcard before you throw it in the garbage. And you basically
right.
have to look at the newsletter and maybe kind of open up before you throw it out. But the bottom line is that I am in 550 people's homes 12 times a year.
Mm, okay, good.
And that cost runs me about 50 cents per mailing. So I look at it this way. For $6 a year, I can keep in touch with somebody I sold a house to 10, 15 years ago. It's
yeah.
well worth it.
Yeah. That's awesome. Now, and I agree. Listen, the whole concept of mailings on a regular, consistent basis is, you know, I used to, you know, when the market busted in 2006, the bubble busted, we had short sales, the mess that we had. You know, I told agents back then, I said, you know what, if you're doing any mailings and parties and referral business, you know, we're trying to work referrals. We found that time in our economy was the worst. You know, sending out mailings on a regular basis, in my opinion, that's what I saw. And but now that the market has turned around, we have more and more people looking to cash in. Now they have equity again. They're looking to make a change, and now mailings are important again. You know, to position in, you know, the definition of self-promotion is to have people know your name, face, and what you do for a living. And so when you consistently, on a regular basis, mail out something that's promoting you, your name, your face, and what you do for a living, when they are ready, that's when they're going to call you. So so I love that. And the thing to keep in mind for everybody is that it does take time, and but it's automatic. I love that. It's automatic.
Yeah,
so,
basically, Daryl, just so you know, the personal marketing company basically creates the piece. They put the address on it. They put a stamp on it. They don't put a stamp. They do it with regular kind of mailings, you know, bulk. But they
right.
take care of everything. It is the Ron Popeil way of doing business. It's set it and forget it.
Set it and forget it. I love it. All right, cool.
Okay.
Now, what else are you doing to shake the trees, generate listing appointments, all that good stuff?
All right. So again, 60 to 70% of the people that listed their homes last year for sale basically knew of a realtor. So if you are looking to seek out a surgeon for heart surgery, you want to go with a surgeon that's got a 70% success rate or a 30%. See, the 30% is the people who you don't know yet. And that's, yes, you can get business from people who don't know you, and that's important. But I have found in my career that the majority of my work comes from people who have been referred to me or that I have met at public open houses. I've met on the street, I've met at parties, attorney relationships and things like that, being at a closing and an attorney really liking me and recommending me to a client. So I'd like to concentrate my time and effort on the people that I know. And again, with a database of 550 people, I try to reach out to between 5 and 10 per week just to call them, hey, how you doing? Market's great. I hope you're real happy with the house and everything else. And then the old, you know, the old question, you know, who do you know that might be thinking about selling now or in the near future? Not do you know, but who do you know?
And you call these people?
Yeah, I've got their names. They're my past clients. If for whatever reason there was a lapse in I don't have their phone number in my phone, I just signed up for a great thing, Daryl. Let me give you another push here. It's called pro.whitepages.com. Now, you can go on regular White Pages, but when you get this pro.whitepages.com, it's $29 a month. It gives you up to 200 searches.
Okay.
And what it does is it finds phone numbers from all over. For instance, if I send you a FedEx package, Daryl, okay, and I'm going to have it sent to you, I want to make sure you get it. I'm going to put your cell number on that FedEx air bill. Well, that phone number goes into a FedEx database. That database gets sold to White Pages, and now all of a sudden I've got Daryl Davis' cell phone number.
Wow.
If I don't know you. So anytime somebody puts a phone number anywhere, that number goes into a database, and the pro professional, I guess they call it pro for professional, but the professional White Pages it seeks out these phone numbers from all over. Matter of fact, they can actually tell you how long they've been at that address and any of their former addresses that they used to live in. So if you're trying to find somebody and you do a lot of phone prospecting like myself, the $29 a month, you get 200 queries, and it resets every month. So on the first of the month, I'm allowed to have 200 queries. Well, I would be happy to use all 200. I usually don't. I'm lucky I'd use 50 to 60, okay?
Okay.
But the bottom line is for $30 a month, $360 a year, I basically can find a number that you normally might not be able to find on a Google search or on a regular whitepages.com.
Right. Yeah, this is great. I just actually looked it up. It's I just typed in Pro White Pages and found them right there, and there it is. 200 queries a month, $29. That's very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Very cool. Anything else on the prospecting suggestion?
Well, again, the manual prospecting, and this is, you know, keep in mind that I had been coaching my son down in Charleston, South Carolina, because he decided to follow in his father's footsteps, and we'll talk about that later if we have time. But one of the things that I learned from with coaching with him was that the Red X thing that you had suggested to us for many, many years. And my son signed up with the Red X, where they took money out of his, you know, his credit card once a month, and it gave him a list of everything, and it forced him to make phone calls. And I have to tell you, he's very successful with that. Now, I believe it's because the Charleston, South Carolina market is a kinder, gentler market than Long Island. So, and again, I can say that because I've called both South Carolina FSBOs and I've called New York FSBOs, and you know, as we know, New York FSBOs are tough. But I always look at this, you know, they're basically just friends that you haven't made the acquaintance, you know, their acquaintance yet. Because once you meet them and they learn who you are, they become friends. I think between the Red X and having the Pro.White Pages, Zillow has got a phenomenal thing. And don't get me wrong, I am not promoting Zillow. I am not suggesting anybody takes money out of their bank account and pays Zillow so much a month to get access to buyers that they would normally get anyway if they had the listings, okay? But don't even get me started with them. But Zillow has a for sale by owner, and it's real easy. I'm looking for homes that are for sale by owner, and most of the times it has the owner's phone number on there.
Mm-hmm.
It has the address of the property. It has a map of the property. So anybody that wants to look for, well, where are the for sale by owners? Like FSBO.com? Yeah, I guess so. But I don't need to go there. I go on Zillow.com, and you can find a boatload of FSBOs. Tells you how long it's been on the market. Now, a Zillow FSBO that says been on 46 days, you got to double check with your market, because it's a good chance they may have been listed already. Because as we know, right, 90% of all FSBOs will eventually sign with a broker. The bottom line is try to be the first one that gets in there, make some sort of an impression on them, and don't push them for the closing, but just push them for an opportunity in the future should they decide to go that route.
Well, and just for people knowing, I'm pretty positive that, you know, when you sign up with the Red X, any of the ones on Zillow, you're going to wind up getting as part of that.
Yes.
Yeah, so instead of having different databases or people – just sign up on that Red X. I just want to remind the power agents that, you know, because you're a power agent, you get the Red X, you save a ton of money. There's a setup fee of $150 that only our students, that number is waived. You don't pay that. And then they give you the first 30 days for free, and the monthly is $110. So you're getting $110 free, the $150. So you're saving $260 as a power agent. For those of you listening, if you haven't done it, you need to sign up with Red X. That's the best way to get FSBOs, expireds from your MLS, and pre-foreclosures. That website to get that special savings is darylspecial.com. They created a website just for our students, darylspecial.com, and then the code is SMILE. When there's a place that says, what's your coupon code? You type in the word SMILE, all caps. All right, well, I'm glad that your son is doing that and he's prospecting, Marty. That's pretty awesome. Very good. Now, All right, so that's it on the. Is there anything else you want to add to the prospecting, or we'll move on to the next thing?
I just think that when it comes to prospecting, that is the type of thing that you have to be in the mindset that you're prospecting 7 days a week, and it could be something so subliminal. Folks, if your company has a name badge with their logo and they give it to you, wear it. If you don't, they don't have one, get one made up. It's worth the $25.
Exactly.
I can't tell you the amount of times I've had conversations with people as I'm checking out of the food store. I try not to go food shopping. I leave that to my wife because I'm an idiot when it comes to buying food. But I have been in the food stores before, and they are great places to meet people because you're standing on the checkout line. There's usually a few people around you, or you could be in an aisle. And people are always drawn to people that are wearing badges. Or if your company has shirts or jackets or anything that can have the company name on there that has to do, with obviously, with the word real estate, I find people will generally talk to you if they see that you have something real estate written on you. So I always try to tell people, be a real estate agent. Don't be a secret agent.
Right. That's great. Awesome. I love it. I love it. I love it. Okay, good. Anything else? Every time I ask, is there anything else, you have another thing to add to it?
Well, you know, Daryl, I have a boatload of stuff, and one of the reasons is that, you know, you gave me a foundation. You know, in 1994, when I started out, I had been a bank appraiser, so I knew everything about homes and construction and value. I didn't know anything about real estate sales, prospecting, servicing, and all that stuff. So you gave me a good foundation. But over the years, you know, I've grown that, and a lot of it's been trial and error. As you know, most agents will do trial and error. I always try to tell people, and I told this to my son when I was coaching him, I said, listen, don't do the Marty Sorrentino way of learning real estate, which is the school of hard knocks and experience. Let me give you the shortcuts.
Right.
Let me tell you about, once you join the National Association of Realtors, that you will be inundated by thousands of companies that all they want to do is come between you and your money, and they will tell you that for $50 a month they can put you on a search engine and you're going to get all these leads of qualified sellers and buyers and all this other stuff. So you know, and I love my son. And we worked in the same home office together, and he's on the phone, and he hangs up, thanks very much, and I go, what did you just do? And he signed up with one of these companies for $250 a month. He's going to do he's going to be the number one visit. So, you know, in a nice way, in a nice fatherly way, I said, okay, you're going to get rid of that credit card. You're going to cancel it after this month because they will not stop charging your account. So I'm telling people out there that there are so many ways to do real estate, and to promote yourself and to prospect should not cost you an arm and a leg. And if you want some really great tips on that, obviously you need to get in with Daryl on his call, his monthly call-ins, and become, you know, a power agent.
That's good. Very good. Okay. Yeah, that's – I mean, there was another tip too there. I mean, that's really good, and that is, you know, make sure you don't spend money you don't have. Going back to that whole mailing thing, you know, the awesome thing about it, what you said, is that it's automatic versus manual. But the other thing is people have to be ready to make that investment in time and money, you know.
Well, here's what it is, Daryl, and this is why let me just kind of interject here. To do the personal marketing, you need a minimum of 50 names. That's going to cost you $25 a month.
Okay.
So what I recommend people do is start with a budget of $300 a year. Now, instead of buying Starbucks, go to Dunkin' Donuts, and the savings and the cost of a cup of coffee, you'll pay for those 50 mailings a month.
Okay.
Okay. Instead of leasing the BMW, lease the Toyota. Okay. They all look the same anyway today. Steal an emblem off a BMW, or get one on Craigslist and slap it on your Toyota. It'll look like a BMW. So instead of spending $600 a month for a car lease, spend $300 for a car lease and use the other $300 to send out 600 pieces of mail a month. Daryl, the more mailings that you send out, the more your phone rings.
Okay.
This is not rocket science. This is not something new.
All right. Well, there you have it, gang. You heard it from Marty. Just start with 50 names, and you're good to go. All right. Very good. All right. Let's see. So now let's go on to the listing appointment. Is there anything that you feel that you do that works really well when you go over on a listing appointment, to whether it's a FSBO or expired?
You know, Daryl, I've gotten listings by basically bringing the Floyd Wickman piece of paper, a pad, and a pencil.
Okay.
And then there have been other times when I've gone there and I've brought all the bells and whistles and nice file folders and loose leaves filled with all my accolades and my testimonials and everything else. But I think the most important thing, and this is something I learned from you, is that you have to learn to be present. Mm. You have to go to every appointment, and you have to remember you're stepping into somebody's home. It is their private domain. It's where they live. It's where they breathe. It's where they laugh. They cry. Their children came home from the hospital there. Their grandchildren come there. So you're going into somebody's very sacred place. Think of it as going into a holy place. And you have to make sure that when you go there, first of all, that you're on time. 5 minutes early is not so bad either. But you get there on time. If you walk in the front door and you see a tray full of shoes, you better take your shoes off. Because if you walk in those people's houses where nobody else does, I'm telling you right now, you're not getting a listing.
Yeah.
If the dog runs up and you scream and you yell and you run out the front door because you're afraid of dogs or cats or anything else, you're not getting a listing because that animal is part of that family. So Daryl, what I like to do is I like to go over to the home basically with my smile, my face, and a business card. And I like to go over there for two reasons. I like to go over there to basically interview them to see if they're really that serious about selling their home, number one. Number two, I also like to interview them and find out if they really believe in the concept of real estate. Mm-hmm. You know, some people will buy a car from a car dealer, and some people will buy a car through Craigslist. And you have your differences there. The number one thing, obviously, is Craigslist, you can get murdered. At the car dealership, you generally won't get murdered, but you probably want to murder the dealer by the time you leave there. So
right.
The difference is all in who gets murdered. So it's the same as, you know, people that understand about the importance of being a real estate professional. And if they get that and they want to utilize the services of a professional, that's what my point is. I go over to people's homes and I say to them, let me take me through the tour of the house. I inspect the home. I take a lot of notes and I ask a lot of questions, nice questions. And if I can find something that I can latch onto, there's a fish mounted on the wall, I might start a conversation. Again, a Floyd Wickman, about making a compliment. Remember the story about him getting on his hands and knees and planting the petunias with the homeowner? You know, I mean, you got to be present and you got to show that you care, right?
Right, yeah, absolutely.
So my first original going there will be about trying to see if they want to even sell their house, even though they say they do, if they want to use a real estate professional, and if they want to utilize my services. And what I'll do is I will collect a bunch of data, and then I will come back to them and say, what I'd like to do is I'd like to go back to my office. And I know, Daryl, we talked about this, the one-step, two-step process. And I got agents, yes, they do one step, and they go out there and they hit it out of the park every time. That's great. That's not me. It doesn't work for me. I like to go back, get the opportunity, and also ask them, by the way, do you plan on interviewing other realtors? They said, yes, we have three other appointments tomorrow. I'm like, oh, my God. Okay, good. So I'm going to see you the following day. Now, before you sign on with anybody, let's have our last-minute conversation, and at that point, if you decide not to hire me, I can help you to make a decision on which other agent you should hire.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Well, good. Well, that's definitely different than what I taught you from the beginning, but you know what? You know, because I prefer you guys doing the one-step versus the two-step, but what I you know, will say, highlight it right now, is that, you know, not everything that I teach works for everybody, and even my most faithful students, such as yourself. I will say this, you know, I did this program on Long Island, Marty. It was a 6-month thing for a client. I met with the agents once a month for 6 months, and it was hard for me to do that, but I wanted to have something also. I'm not saying this right. I wanted to be as committed to the process of this 6-month program as the agents. I was asking the agents to prospect and call FSBOs and da-da-da. And so what I decided to do, and I know they didn't want to do it, so what I decided to do was to do something I didn't want to do. So that way we're both doing something we don't want to do, but if doing it will make us better. And mine was to lose weight. So I promised the group I would lose 25 pounds in the 6 months, which I did. I hit that goal. Of course, I gained it all back, but that was not part of the agreement. but I'm going somewhere with this. You know, after that 6 months and the 25 pounds, I realized what was the best diet. because there's so many different diets out there, MetaFast, Nutrisystem, Weight Watchers, blah, blah, blah. And so I learned which was the best of all of those diet programs, what the best one was. And people ask me, what was it? And I tell them, it's the one you're willing to commit to. There is no right formula except for the one you're willing to actually do. And as long as you do something and you do it consistently, it'll work. So I'm glad, you know, and that just to point out, you know, not everything I do is, you know, Tom Ferry has his approach, Floyd Workman has his, I have mine. And, you know, I love that you're taking from a little bit of everybody what works for you, what you like, and you take it with your heart and you run with it. That's what's really important. And so that's beautiful. All right. Great. Let's go on with the listing appointments. So is there anything else you want to add when it comes to what would the majority of the listings that you're going? Would they be referrals? Would they be FSBOs? Would they be just people calling looking for a CMA?
Mostly referrals. Mostly people who know me because, again, you got to remember, you know, being in business over 20 years, you kind of have that thing. And it's funny, but I've had people say that have met me for the first time at a social thing, oh, Marty Sorrentino, oh, I see your signs all over the place. Or, oh, I've heard of Marty. Well, my wife will be talking to somebody who she knows does not know me, but then she mentions my name, and they go, oh, Marty, the realtor, you know.
Yeah.
So my name is out there. My recognizability is out there. But, folks, that takes a lot of work, and it takes time. So so the important thing, and again, I've got 1,000 tips and techniques. We don't have enough time on this tape, and that's where I was talking to you about. We had talked about possibly doing something again where we could kind of be in with these agents and we could be honing in on what their likes and dislikes are, what's their strong points, what's their weak points, and how we can basically be kind of like a buddy system where when you're going on that listing appointment, we're not physically there, but we are. We're sitting on your shoulder like that little guardian angel that says, say this, do that.
Right.
And that coaching thing, you know, Daryl, I was up and running, we had all those students, you know, it made me a better agent coaching the other people. And I had people in Wisconsin. I had people in Florida. I had people in Westchester County, New York, New Jersey. And boy, what a difference that I learned how all realtors do business, folks. So as much as people think, wow, Marty's got it made, he's on Long Island, the average sales price is $400,000, $500,000. You know, I'm out here in Wisconsin, and my average sales price is $80,000. And so I understand the nuances of all the different markets that are out there. And the most important thing is that you as an agent embrace your market, learn it, study it. And the old saying, if you don't like the fish in the one pond, move to another pond.
Oh, that's good. That's very good. All right. Well, this is – is there anything else that you want to add to this? I mean, we're coming to the end of our time here, and this is absolutely fabulous.
Well, again, we had talked about time management, and I don't like the word time management because I don't like the word management, and time is quote-unquote – relative. Like if I say, wow, I did that for a long time, and you say, really, Marty? I've been doing that for 20 years. So time is, you know, how long or short it is relative to the person that's going through it. I like to think of it as almost structured time, not time management, but structured. What do you do every day when you wake up, and what do you do as far as how many personal, you know, your personal time hours in a day, how many business time hours in a day? You know, I used to have a saying when I was coaching the students. I say, listen, you go in on a Monday morning, you make a few phone calls, you get an appointment, you go out that day or during that week and you get one listing, take the rest of the month off. You've just done more business than 90% of the agents do in the country.
Absolutely.
Now, of course, what happens, right? What happens is you don't do that. So, for instance, my personal best was I wrote up 4 listings in one day from 4 different clients. Why? Because 2 was my record and I wanted to break it. And when I broke it on the 3rd, I had a 4th appointment that night. It was 9 o'clock at night. I hadn't seen my wife since early in the morning, and I was dead tired. But I went on that last appointment, and I wound up getting it. And after I got it and I wrote up the listing and everything else, I thanked them for breaking my record. I said, I want to thank you for breaking my record. They said, what record? I said, I got 4 listings today. I said, my personal best was 2. I just doubled it. Thank you very much. We'll get you moved.
Wow, that's great.
So now let's go back to structure. So, the structure is something that not everybody has. I don't have it sometimes myself, Daryl. You know, it's easy to get sidetracked. And you can wind up saying, I'm going to sit in my office and I'm not leaving until I get in the door. Okay, that's great. But, you know, something comes up, there's a flood in the house, or there's a problem, or somebody left the door open, or somebody wants to negotiate.
Right.
You wind up getting sidetracked in our business. So the structure, I think, and this is where maybe where you and with your agents, your loyal agents, is to work on something that's considered structure time, where you structure a schedule that you don't change that structure. For instance, if you were a train engineer and you drove a train for a living, you're not going to say, you know what? I go into Penn Station every morning at 6 a.m. Tomorrow I'm going in at 7. It's not going to happen.
Right, you have
to be there at 6 o'clock. And so if you take that same mindset, right, and you say, okay, I've got to be here. I've got to do this. Before I do anything else, I have to do this. And, again, to stay focused and to use the tips and techniques that you give them, whether it's through your media stuff or it's a phone call or it's the hotline or whatever you're doing, you know, with your coaching, that's the most important thing, is to keep people structured. And if agents were on a structured time system, they would be more successful.
Yeah, all right. That's that's just awesome. And if you think about it too, is that anybody that's really committed to something, let's just use the gym as an example, which I use this example often, which is funny because I never go, but for people that love to go to the gym on a regular basis, they have a structure that they do. You know, they there's a certain day and certain time of the day when they will go to the gym pretty religiously, and that's their structure, to the point where they I was talking to somebody about this today, actually, is that you want to commit to the structure, do the structure until you want to do it. You know, there's, when we first start trying to create a habit or start trying to implement a structure for ourselves, like whether it's getting up at the same time every day earlier, whether it's jogging, working out, or prospecting, that eventually, if you keep to the structure and you're doing it, eventually that structure becomes part of your habits, and which is a good habit to have. So, yeah, that's really great, Marty.
Well, you know, the other thing, let me just add also, Darrell. You know,
sure.
in my experience with the wonderful agents that you were kind enough to let me coach, everyone had a unique, different experience where they worked. I had, in other words, one agent where, in the gated community he lived in, you weren't allowed to knock doors and you weren't allowed to do door hangers. Okay, so we tried to get past that. So we developed a system where he got involved through the community center and he did a lot of volunteer work and everything else to kind of get a thing. Then we had another guy who had a downtown real estate office, the old fashioned where people walk in the door and they come in and everything else.
Right.
And so I talked to him and I said, well, what time do you open the office? He goes, well, sometimes we open at 9, sometimes we open at 10. I said to him, you ever sit in your car in front of your office at 7 o'clock in the morning? He's like, no, why? I said, because you ever wonder what goes on at 7 o'clock in the morning in front of your store? So you know what happened? He realized that a lot of people walked back and forth before he even got there. And I said, listen, everybody that walks past your store is an opportunity lost if you're not open. I want you to put a sign in the front window that says, free coffee.
Yeah.
and on the coffee cup, I want to make sure that the name of your company's on there with your cell phone number.
Yeah.
And give them a to-go cap so that you go walk down the block with your coffee and walk past all the other stores that aren't open, but at least they got your cup with your company name on there.
That's
and he thought
great.
It was a great idea.
That's great. Great.
Darrell, this is what I'm getting at, is that every agent out there has their own different way they do business or want to do business. They have their own – the business has its own nuances. And I think that's what the important thing of having a one-to-one that we used to do with the agents, why it was so important, is because we personalized our coaching to every particular instance. And if there was a situation that I didn't have the answer to, I said to them, I'm going to get back on that right away. You and I had a conversation. We talked about it. We researched it, sent them out an email immediately on it, and we followed up with that. It was an amazing thing, and that's why I found with structure is that one person's structure is not the same as another agent's structure.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Very true. Well, great stuff. Well, Marty, this is, once again, people, this is great. You did a fabulous job. I just, I love this. This was awesome. If people want to get in touch with you again, which is the best way to do it?
Email, MartySorrentino@gmail.com, or the cell. You can call or text 516-551-0082.
All right, very cool. All right, gang, well, that's it for this month's interview. Thanks so much for listening to this, and I look forward to talking to everybody on the live conference call with me that we do every month. And until then, keep rocking and rolling, and don't forget to keep smiling.